Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
This morning, I had another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler. And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine.
Just now, I spoke on the phone with President Rouhani of the Islamic Republic of Iran. The two of us discussed our ongoing efforts to reach an agreement over Iran's nuclear program. I reiterated to President Rouhani what I said in New York. While there will surely be important obstacles to moving forward, and success is by no means guaranteed, I believe we can reach a comprehensive solution.
I leave a pregnant pause in the Savage Nation because never before in American history have we reached such a low point. How do you feel about your president negotiating with the enemy of America and Israel, Iran, but not the Republicans? How do you feel about slime of the lowest order in the Republican Party? And I call him slime for putting up with this without demanding impeachment immediately. How do you feel about slime in the Democrat Party negotiating with people who would wipe Israel off the planet, who would convert Americans to Islam, negotiating with them and calling them a Republic of Iran when they're the farthest thing from a republic imaginable? And not talking to Republicans. How do you feel about Harry Reid saying there's no need for conversations with Republicans on the budget or on Obamacare? Abomination care, I have called it affectionately. But not talking to Republicans, but talking to Iranians? How do you feel about any of this? Or you feel nothing? Are you brain dead? It's the Savage Nation. It's Friday. I realize many of you are tired from the whole week of the sun, moon, and the stars that I've been talking about. Sun, moon, and the stars, meaning Obama and the politicians, the political class, are they your only constellation? Are they your only constellation? When you look up at the sky, all you see is the moon or the sun. Or what, one formation of stars? You don't see an entire solar system, a galaxy, many galaxies. And so when you listen to talk radio, what do you expect me to do? Talk about Obama as though he is the sun, and Boehner as though he is the moon, and Schumer as though he is, well, fill it in, you know, whatever you want. There's much more in the world, but on a day like today, when your president falls to the lowest level imaginable in American history, the lowest, this is the lowest, this is the nadir of American exceptionalism. We have an incompetent man, as we well know, who seems to hate the fact that he has to deal with the Congress at all. He despises the American people. Then you have advisors like Floof and Pfeiffer, whatever their names are. I don't know where, what toilet he pulled them out of, saying things that you can't imagine would come out of a presidency. And then you have people around the world begging for leadership. And then you have Obama negotiating with, okay, he's not the Hitler of Iran. He's the new version. Rouhani is the nice and nasty version of Ahmadinejad. The nice and nasty cop, the good cop, bad cop. They got rid of the bad cop, Ahmadinejad. They retired him. And they brought in Rouhani, who's now playing nice cop. And this is a president speaking to him as though we're living in 1939, and it's Chamberlain talking to Hitler. Many of you don't know history, so you're repeating it. For example, Walter on WABC is a perfect example. Walter, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
You know, Michael, you got me so confused out here. Just a couple of weeks ago, you were calling the president a warmonger because he wanted to bomb Syria for...
Well, that's right, but Syria is not Iran. Syria did not threaten us. Syria did not threaten to wipe Israel off the map.
And now we've got a chance to...
I guess you didn't hear what I just said. You should go to an ear doctor and have the wax taken out.
which would actually be the beginning of World War III.
See, again, you must be working for the DNC. That's the only reason you're listening this late on a Friday night.
You called.
Normally you would be stoned by now with your friends, but I guess they put you into a late slot tonight. So, in other words, let me ask you, how'd that work out for England negotiating with Hitler?
Michael, what do you want to...
No. You answer my questions. This is not your talk show. It's mine. How did that work out when Chamberlain negotiated with Hitler? Did that work out well for the English people?
It's apples and oranges. It's not even close, Michael.
Well, why do you mean it's apples and oranges? Iran is on the road to getting nuclear weapons, and they want to wipe Israel off the map. So if you hate Israel, your point of view makes sense. What's the matter? What's the matter there, my dear friend? Has Iran not said repeatedly, we're going to get the bomb, and when we do, we will wipe the Jewish people off the planet? Have they not said that over and over again?
Answer the question, Savage. Do you want to go to war with Iran? But
you're not answering my question. How did it work out when Chamberlain negotiated with Hitler? How did that work out when he held up the piece of paper and said, we have peace with the Anglo-German alliance? Those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. You're obviously an ignoramus. Not only do you not know your history, but you're blind to the present. That's all. What can I say to you? And I'll ask the rest of you, how do you feel about your president negotiating with the enemy of America and Israel, Iran, who is on record saying they will wipe Israel off the planet, but he will not negotiate with the Republicans? How do you feel about that? 855-407-282, 855-407-282. I think we need to play a little more of Neville Chamberlain for those of you who don't know your history. Let's play a little more of Neville Chamberlain when he came back from Germany.
This morning, I had another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler. And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine. We, the German Führer and Chancellor, and the British Prime Minister, have had a further meeting today and are agreed in recognizing that the question of Anglo-German relations is of the first importance for the two countries and for Europe. We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement as symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again.
How'd that work out for all you liberals? See, the difference between Neville Chamberlain and England in that time and their pacifism and their cowardice and today is that the Labour Party realized what a danger Chamberlain had become, not only for their own party, but for the nation of England, for the Empire of England at the time, and they threw him out of his own party. The Labour Party threw him out of the Labour Party. Remember, he was the head guy in England, Chamberlain, Neville Chamberlain, right? Prime Minister of England. But he was such a pacifist and such a diehard left winger that even the left wing Labour Party threw him out of the party. They voted him out of his own party. The Democrats, on the other hand, are so whacked out on foolishness and idiocy. Fill in the blank, that they don't even understand the danger Obama has put not only their party in, but America in. They could care less about America. They care only about their party. And while the Titanic has struck the iceberg under Obama, they're all rushing to the poop deck. Listen to the rest in clip two on the Savage Nation.
Throughout this clip process, two. We'll stay in close touch with our friends and allies in the region, including Israel. Now, we're mindful of all the challenges ahead. The very fact that this was the first communication between an American and Iranian president since 1979 underscores the deep mistrust between our countries, but it also indicates the prospect of moving beyond that difficult history. I do believe that there is a basis for a resolution.
Is he stupid? Is Obama just stupid? Who is pushing him into these decisions? Is it the four horsewomen of the apocalypse? Is it George Soros? Is it Hillary Clinton? Who is pushing him into these untenable decisions? Who is making these decisions for him? And how do you feel about your president negotiating with the enemy of America and Israel, Iran, and meeting with the head of Iran for the first time since Jimmy Peanut Carter in 1979 met with them, but refusing to meet with the Republicans? How do you feel about that? 855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation. I'll take your calls. WMAL in Washington, D.C. John, thanks for calling on that powerhouse cumulus station. What's on your mind?
What I'm talking about would be that this is the worst president. It's almost like 1939 all over again, but it's going to be worse than Winston Chamberlain. And I have no idea who elected these people. Another thing is, how in the world did...
All right, I got it. I'm sorry that the... It's late on a Friday night. I realized that the wild turkey just clicked in. That would not be a call I would have taken, but he meant well. But it was the wild turkey speaking, not the caller. There's a lot of wild turkeys in the Potomac area. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Just now, I spoke on the phone with President Rouhani of the Islamic Republic of Iran. The two of us discussed our ongoing efforts to reach an agreement over Iran's nuclear program. I reiterated to President Rouhani what I said in New York. While there will surely be important obstacles to moving forward, and success is by no means guaranteed, I believe we can reach a comprehensive solution.
This morning, I had another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler. And here is the paper which bears his name upon it, as well as mine.
So those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it, and apparently we have millions and millions of ignoramuses in America who not only do not know their history, but care not to learn it. Obama has been on the phone more with Iran than Speaker Boehner, according to CNN. How does that work for you? How do you feel about your president being on the phone more with Iran than with the Republicans? How do you feel about the fact that the Democrats are more concerned with seizing picnic food and pouring Clorox on it than negotiating with the American people who want the belt tightening, meaning a budget battle that means something, who want 10 to 20% of every government department terminated, who want 20% of government workers fired, who want pensions cut by 20%. How about that? This is not esoteric. This is not esoteric at all. How do you feel about this? Carol on WABC in New York, go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike, listen, the only wild turkeys in Colorado are the idiots who passed the legalizing marijuana. I think that Obama has an agenda to destroy this country. I think he's pulling us through a minefield. I think Iran is just buying time by even talking to this moron. And I'm afraid to tell you that the end result's looking a lot more like Armageddon day by day.
Very clearly put. You should consider a career in talk radio.
I'm from Brooklyn. I have a terrible accent.
Yeah, but, you know, I listen to people what they actually say, not their accent.
I see.
I've met too many people who speak the King's English and say nothing.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
okay, how many times have I heard people speak the perfect English and say nothing?
Uh-huh.
Or how many politicians are so glib-tongued and have such wonderful voices and lead us astray? So, Carol, you resonate with me. I do think that Iran is buying time. This is the craziest thing. Listen to what Obama also said. We don't have this on tape. He said that Iran's supreme leader has issued a fatwa against the development of nuclear weapons. Obama says President Rouhani has indicated that Iran will never develop nuclear weapons. Do you believe that? Knowing how those people operate in the Republic of Iran, do you believe a word of what they say? He's issued a fatwa against the development of nuclear weapons? Iran will never develop. So what were they developing nuclear weapons for? They mean they stopped developing nuclear weapons? What do you think about any of this? Doesn't this worry you? Now, this is the same Iran that wouldn't shake his hand. Think about what I just said to you. I want you to understand what went on this week. There was a Major League UN meeting Rouhani had a dinner. He invited Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam to his dinner, but not the President of the United States. And now the President of the United States calls him up and says, we had a wonderful constructive conversation. You have any idea how low it can go? It's going real low. KSFO, John, how do you feel about this today on the Savage Nation?
Hey, what's going on, Michael? I think that the president of Iran is doing this and stroking Obama's ego and being the only one to talk to him because he initiated the phone conversation. Obama's not talking to Republicans because they're not going to make him feel good, but the president of Iran knows that Obama's weak. He'll use this opportunity to be the first one in 30 years to talk to Iran and make himself in the history books.
Oh, I see. This way he might win another Nobel Prize.
He might win another Nobel Prize for curing the nuke talks. So Obama's never, ever admitted he's wrong, ever, in his life. So Russia gives Iran a nuke, Obama's never going to admit it. America turns a blind eye, and then it's over. It's just...
Yeah, I see it your way. We have a very, very frail president who's psychologically frail, who has never been told no in his entire life. The skids have been greased for him since elementary school. Everything has been handed to him. He has a, well, why go into it? We did a psychological analysis of him way back in the beginning. We're way past that. Here we have the President of the United States talking to Iran for the first time since Jimmy Peanut Carter in 1979. And Carter was such a terrible president that he permitted the cancer of radical Islam to metastasize around the world. It was Jimmy Carter's pacifism and belief that negotiation would work with these hardliners that permitted Khomeini to come back from exile in London and spread the cancer that we are facing around the world today. And now the oncologist in the White House tells us there is no cancer. The oncologist in the White House has just come back from the surgical ward and said there is no cancer. You're imagining it. There is no cancer of radical Islam. They're not developing a nuclear weapon. They're peace-loving. Trust me. And he won't talk to Republicans. He gives a blind eye and a deaf ear to the American people's desire for a belt tightening. But he speaks to the Iranians?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The very fact that this was the first communication between an American and Iranian president since 1979 underscores the deep mistrust between our countries, but it also indicates the prospect of moving beyond that difficult history. I do believe that there is a basis for a resolution. Iran's supreme leader has issued a fatwa against the development of nuclear weapons. President Rouhani has indicated that Iran will never develop nuclear weapons. I've made clear that we respect the right of the Iranian people to access peaceful nuclear energy in the context of Iran meeting its obligations. So the test will be meaningful.
Okay, do you hear what he just said? He believes that they've issued a fatwa against the development of nuclear weapons? This is astonishing to me because I am a student of history. Chamberlain came back from his meeting with Hitler, and he said peace is at hand. Chancellor Hitler has signed the Anglo-German Naval Treaty. And the chancellor has said we will never go to war. Shortly thereafter, he invaded another country. What is going on? Do you understand this? Do you believe that these Islamic fundamentalists will give up the possibility of turning their enriched uranium and separated plutonium into nuclear weapons? Do you believe they're going to give up this possibility to convert their enriched uranium and separated plutonium into nuclear weapons? I don't. Sounds very nice, doesn't it? Sort of along the line of, gee, the communists in China turned into crony capitalists. Maybe the Iranian hardliners will turn into sort of nice guys that we can do business with. History does not hold up any hope for such an event whatsoever. This man that we're dealing with here on the other side is a hardliner. There's a near zero chance that he will give up the nuclear program. Rouhani's triumph in the recent presidential election was not really a victory for moderation. That is their cover story. He is part of the militant revolution in the Islamic Republic. That's what it's been. But they're playing good cop, bad cop. They got rid of Ahmadinejad because he wasn't diplomatic enough. He said what they really meant. He came out and said like what they really believed. He said, we're going to get a nuclear weapon, and when we do, we'll wipe Israel off the planet, then we'll go after all the Jews around the world. That's what he said it many times. I heard the speeches. Now, what if the centrifuge production continues at current levels? What will Obama do then? If they continue their centrifuge production at current levels, according to what I've read, by the middle of next year, the regime will have a one-week capacity to what they're calling a breakout capacity, meaning they could take 20% of rich uranium and convert it to bomb-grade uranium in 7 days. So let me repeat that. It's from an incredible article you must read in the Weekly Standard by a genius named Ruel Marc Gerecht, the new Rouhani, same as the old Rouhani. It hasn't been published yet. It's coming out October 7th. But he writes this. Lucky for you, I'm a scholar who can read things quickly and absorb them rapidly for you on radio. And I've just done it for you. Radio is much different than printed publications. Do you actually believe any of this? You don't think Rouhani is just playing Obama because he knows Obama is domestically weak right now? And after refusing to shake Obama's hand and inviting Louis Farrakhan to a state dinner at a hotel in New York City this week and not inviting Obama, this phone conversation is real to you? This is a Friday night, I realize that, and you have other things to do, and I'm a realist myself. I walk around San Francisco before my show. I see people living their lives. I see them eating, drinking, eating oysters, the wine that's flowing. What should they do? I see boats on the bay, people sitting on the back of the boat at the dock with the sun on their face drinking. I'm not mad at them. Life has to go on. Before the show, I walk up California Street. I come in front of a hotel. I see a 1957 Bentley with a fishback. I ask the man who's driving it, a real Britisher, about his car. He's driven it down from Canada. He's on the way to somewhere, L.A. He's having a good time. I understand that. Life goes on. There are, what, 5.5 billion people on the planet? How many of them are interested in politics? 1%? How many people are really interested in politics? Those of you who are listening to this show on a Friday night, you're in the smallest of minority. You are political junkies, so to speak, to use a derogatory term that doesn't really apply. You're political fanatics because you realize that everything is at stake right now. We have the most devious, destructive presidency in American history. The man is on a one-way bullet train to destroy the country. Everything he has done is blown up in his face. Nothing he has done has worked out right. The Obamacare juggernaut is about to blow up the country's economy. And he won't talk to the Republicans. They attack people who want a belt tightening. They attack people who want this Obamacare slowed down before it's implemented. And yet he will talk to a nation that is intent upon destroying one of our allies, Israel, and then us. How do you feel about your president negotiating with the enemy of America but not with the Republicans? These are important questions. Ira on WABC in New York, go ahead, please. Ira, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, one little thing. Neville Chamberlain was conservative and not labor. And
Ira, he was not a member of the Tory party. He was a member of the Labor Party, and they threw him out of his party.
Conservative.
What's the difference what he was? He was a pacifist who spoke to Hitler, and he was wrong.
I agree with you. That's why.
All right, as long as we agree, that's all. Now we're going to start dancing on the head of a pin over this. My point is, and no one in radio has done for you what I've done tonight. I played Chamberlain's speech. Play Chamberlain's speech again because they don't know what we're talking about already. The 15 minutes are up.
I had another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler. And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine. The German Führer and Chancellor and the British Prime Minister have had a further meeting today and are agreed in recognizing that the question of Anglo-German relations is of the first importance for the two countries and for Europe. We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement as symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again.
Now, of course, the British cheered because they lost so many of their boys in World War One. Millions of boys died for nothing in World War One. They were war-weary, as we are war-weary. Nobody wants war. Nobody wanted war. But Hitler understood the weakness of the West, and he was capitalizing on it, and he was moving in to the void that had been created from all of the slaughter, just as the Ayatollahs are. They're moving into the void of weakness, the void of pacifism, the void of foolishness, the void of liberalism, the insanity of liberalism. But let me read the last paragraph from Raoul Marc Gerecht, who is a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies at the Weekly Standard, when he wrote the following. Without a credible American threat to go to war if Khamenei fails to dismantle, not just delay, his nuclear program, the upcoming negotiations are unlikely to end well. They could become, as we have seen, they could become, as we have already seen elsewhere in the Middle East, just farce. Well, yeah, just farce. Just farce. Zach on WABC, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, when I heard about Obama talking to Iran about the nuclear weapons, and I have to say this, you can never trust Iran. It's just disgusting to hear that the President of the United States making peace talks with a nation that is bent on destroying the chosen people by God. It's a heresy.
Well, why don't you tell that to the Jews in America who still worship at Obama's altar?
Yeah.
90% of the Jewish people in America would not care what Obama did. They would worship him anyway.
I mean, it's ridiculous. They're being brought.
99% of the rabbis in the reform movement, no matter what Obama did, would still support him.
It's just disgusting to me. And I've never voted.
It's called suicidal behavior.
Yeah.
It's called suicidal behavior. Thank you for the call. So there's the unknown. So Rouhani now is telling Obama that he wants to make peace and he won't make scrambled eggs out of Israel after they get the bomb because they don't even want to get a bomb. And Obama says, well, that's great. Look at that. I can get out of the trouble I'm in. The scandals will disappear. The economy will suddenly be forgotten. And I'll get another Nobel Prize for shaking hands with the clerics of Iran. Huh? How do you feel about that? Tim on WABC has a comment to make. Go ahead, Tim.
I want to thank you so much for your comedic genius for the opening of your show tonight. I laughed and laughed and laughed. Pure brilliance. Your brilliance is only exceeded by your creativity. The parallel of Neville Chamberlain to Barack Obama is pure genius.
Yeah, but wait, let's go on. The thing is, it's almost identical in meaning of what Chamberlain said and what Obama said today. That's the shocker.
Yeah, because they're so out of touch with reality.
Well, here's the thing, and this is the danger. Chamberlain was so committed to pacifism and led the British people almost to the brink of destruction that his own party threw him out of the party. They threw him out of the party because he almost destroyed Britain. Could you ever believe the Democrats would do that to Obama? And throw him out for destroying the country or destroying their party?
Yep.
Never in a million years. Never in a million years could those hacks in the Democrat Party ever, ever, ever say to him, enough is enough. We're going to move to have you impeached for what you've done.
Obama realizes his presidency is sinking into oblivion, and this is his last great hurrah. He's striving for a coup de grace. Some major Grand Slam event that will raise him up out of, like a phoenix out of this.
You're 100% right, and he assumes that Iran will suddenly say we're not developing nuclear weapons, and then his internationalist friends in the New World Order grant them another Nobel Peace Prize. And everyone forgets all of the scandals, which I don't have to reiterate in every breath. But look, the minute I heard about the speech today, I had to grab the Chamberlain. Did anyone else in radio play the two together today, do you know?
No, no one did. That's why I'm saying. And plus it was...
Well, you mean Rush didn't and Wallbanger didn't?
No, no.
What, they still doing the Ted Cruz job?
Yes, they're still hung up on the CR resolution Obamacare bill.
I don't understand how anyone could not see what's going on. I don't understand it. My mind is on international politics almost all the time. Thank you for the call. What a night this is for me. I told you, Friday nights are a very unique show for me because the audience is much smaller. People are not tuned in. It's late. Most people want a relaxing night. It's also a very special night for me in a personal way, which I will not get into other than to tell you that my only daughter is in a hospital right now giving birth to my first grandchild, and I still chose to come to the program for a number of reasons. And the reason is because this is my destiny, and my audience depends upon me. And I would like to tell you that if you are given towards any kind of prayer or religious orientation, send prayers that way. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
...of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine.
Well, there will surely be important obstacles to moving forward, and success is by no means guaranteed.
That the question of Anglo-German relations is of the first importance for the two countries and for Europe.
I believe we can reach a comprehensive solution.
We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement.
I do believe that there is a basis for a resolution.
As symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again.
It's exhausting to look at this and see it as clearly as I do. It's like having a crystal ball with the ability to look backwards and forwards at the same time and not get confused by what I see. When Obama was elected, I recall on this show, those of you who've listened religiously for all these years, I said he is either going to use Neville Chamberlain as a model, and I gave some other examples of who he might use as a model. I didn't know whether it would be Che Guevara, Neville Chamberlain, Fidel Castro, Joseph Stalin, or Pol Pot. Thus far, we have a bit of all other than Pol Pot. There's not yet a mountain of skulls. There's just a mountain of missing bullets. So far, no one knows where the 1 billion hollow point bullets have gone. Eli on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Michael. I will pray for your daughter that the baby is born healthy and that you are a grandfather tonight or tomorrow, whenever the Lord provides. But I don't
thank you.
You know how blessed you are by God, because you are prophetic in not just a religious way. I love when you quote the Bible, but you're a prophet in a historical way. You've often said we're witnessing preludes to what is going on, like watching a trailer from a movie, you know, like the attractions.
Yeah.
You know, people may not take you seriously because you throw in a meatball recipe now and then or whatever, talk about your dogs, but, you know, that's the man who you are, and that's how God made you. But, like, people better start listening, because you see what's coming down, and it's coming down. And I don't know, Michael, if we can change things. We may just be witnessing.
Yes. Now, that's a very important tail end to the adulations, which is, can we really change the tsunami that is engulfing us? I feel as though the tsunami right at this point is pulling itself out to sea before smacking us really well. In other words, this is the prelude to the actual tsunami. And I don't know that Obama is the manufacturer of the tsunami. He may just be the harbinger of the tsunami. Eli, I don't have an answer for you. All I know is that when we lost the press, we lost the country. We have no opposition party. And I came to the conclusion today, Eli, that our form of government is about the worst form of government on the planet. It is the most imperfect system ever invented. Because if it can be abused by a tin horn like Obama, as it is being abused by this gang, Harry Reid, Flew, Pfeiffer, you name them, Schwartz, whatever they are, they're abusing this system. that was not meant to be abused, but they found a way to abuse the system and annihilate the two-party system. There is no longer a two-party system. It's a one-party system. So if you have Harry Reid, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, Dick Durbin, and the others, if they're able to abuse the two-party system as they are doing and completely nullify the will of the people, then it is the worst system ever devised in the history of mankind. A participatory democracy would permit the people to throw out a government that is corrupt or incompetent, not wait for an election every 4 years, because a lot can happen in 4 years. Am I right, Eli?
Yes.
Eli, do we have 3.5 years left to wait with Obama? Seeing what this man is doing on a daily basis, can we not foresee what 3.5 more years of this man will do to this country?
Well, we have to put our trust in God because, you know, it's beyond man right now, Mr. Savage. And I think that...
But Eli, I must tell you, God sees the truth but waits is one way to look at it. I sometimes think that God got so fed up with man that he went to another galaxy. Sometimes I think God abandoned this galaxy. He gave up on it. You know, there are so many horrible things going on this earth, from politics to animal cruelty. You know, you say, how am I going to shift to animals now? Have you heard about the NRA elephant hunter who shot an elephant in the face and it lay on the ground crying, shooting it in the face again, and then saying Hitler would have said the same thing when people said, why are you killing elephants? Don't give another dime to the NRA. Withdraw your money from the NRA. Make that pig, throw that pig out, Tony Makris.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-728. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, we've been talking about Obama negotiating with the leader of Iran, but not negotiating with the Republicans. You've heard my feelings on it. I played clips from Neville Chamberlain negotiating with Hitler. We know how that worked out. And I told you that it's a very strange night for me, a very magical night, and I just got the word 5 minutes ago that I'm the grandfather of a baby girl, 6 pounds, 15 ounces, so Annika is now on the earth, and all I can say is it's a miracle. Birth is still a miracle in an age of such cynicism, in an age where girls throw babies in a trash can to go back to a dance. I still believe in the adage, he who saves a single life, it is as though he saved the entire world. And God bless the doctors, the good ones. They are the saints of the planet. God bless the nurses. God bless the physician's assistants. God bless those in the birth world. They bring life onto the planet, without which, as you know, the opposite occurs. And it's a very powerful moment for me. And I mean, I'm on the radio, which is bizarre. The children didn't want anyone in the hospital. I kept joking and saying, don't you want like the Sopranos family out there with the candy and the flowers in the lobby? No, we don't. We want to be alone. And I respect that. I'm not a smother father. I never have been. I've always been, you know, do what you want to do in that sense. You know, you're adults. But, you know, I always felt like we should be out there, sitting out there in the lobby with the flowers or whatever. I promised my daughter. I remember when she was born. I'll never forget the day when she was born in San Francisco in Kaiser Hospital. I brought Chinese food for her mother to the hospital. And I brought Latin music. I brought Cuban music during the birth. I was a pretty crazy young guy. Amazing. So I said, look, when the baby's born, just give me a call. I would come over with Chinese food. I'll shoot right up to Geary Street, get a ton of Chinese food, and I'll be in the hospital with it. It'll certainly beat the gop you're going to eat in the hospital, but I don't think they want me there with the Chinese food tonight. I know right after this show, I'm not going to be in the hospital. I'm probably going to hit a bar right here. I know exactly where I'm going for a couple of drinks. Amazing. Amazing. And there's another reason. Look, you got to forgive me for going off this important topic, because it's like a dual reality. I'm running on a double track right now, the personal and the political. But since you know my show is very personal as well as political, interspersed with my life, and it's been for 20 years, I can't change all of a sudden and just say suck it up and forget about it. They don't want to hear about it. Some of you are probably know, who cares? I get it. Others of you who've been listening to me since 94 are celebrating as though it's a part of your family, because we are a radio family, and I know that. I know that very well through the letters I get, the emails, rather, about Teddy. Many of you think Teddy's like your dog. And I get it. I mean, this becomes a family, and that's what talk radio really is at its best. It can't be duplicated by any other medium in that sense. The bonding between people is stronger in radio than any other medium. It's a well-known fact. It's different than any other medium. And so I got to tell you one last personal story, then I will go back to the story of Chamberlain and Obama, the parallels in history, dealing with the Islamic Republic of Iran, the way Chamberlain dealt with the Hitler Republic of Germany, the National Socialist Republic of Germany. Socialist country was Germany. I got to tell you this, it's very important you hear it, and then I'll move on. Father died young, grandfather died young. All of my life, since my father's heart attack when I was 18 years old, and I had to leave college to help run his little store, it set me back in school a lot, set me on a, you know, a whole different thing, whatever. The thing is I always felt that I would never make it to see my own grandchild, never. Never. I felt that I had a curse over me. I felt that there was always a curse. I would never make that goal. Never. And it's funny, I've hit every other goal in my life but this one. This is it. There's nothing left for me to do. There is nothing greater than what happened to me 15 minutes ago. I haven't seen the child. I haven't seen little Annika yet. But I hope I will. But she's here. I never thought I'd see the day that I'd be on the earth and with a grandchild. I just felt that it wouldn't happen. That just shows you what negativity can do, how it can destroy your mind. And there's a lesson in this for those of you who are struggling with your own problems, your own fears, your own doubts. If you let negativity take control of you, you can't do a thing. It'll cripple you. You literally have to shut the voice down that tells you you can't do this, you can't do that, you're going to die this, you're going to get that. It's not worth living like that. So I punched through all of it. I punched through all of it. I never thought I would have the success I have in radio. I dreamed it. I said I would, but I didn't think I would. I mean, I didn't know how it would happen. It's always been one miraculous thing after another. Just when things closed down on me and I couldn't go further, and I kept fighting and fighting for years, I fought in court to win the freedom that I had, and then there was nothing waiting, and then this came up, and here I am. And despite all odds, now the child is born. So what can I say? I mean, what can I say to you on the show tonight? I'm not going to get more emotional than I am. I'm not at the point of, you know, I'm not like tearing or crying. I'm almost numb. I'm not excited. I'm just stunned, actually. And that's about it. In the middle of how do you feel about your president negotiating with the enemy of America, Iran, but not the Republicans. And I knew that my daughter was in. There it is. So, that's life. How about playing Frank Sinatra, That's Life? Maybe that would be good as a breather before we come back to Neville Chamberlain and Barack Obama and whatever. If you could dig up That's Life, that would be good. It would give me a chance to catch my breath. Unfortunately, I can't have a drink and a cigar right now for two reasons. One, I've never had a drink in the history of radio, perhaps except once at the end of a show to see what it would do to me, and it wrecked my mind. I couldn't think. I once tried it with 2 minutes to go. I couldn't form a thought. It's amazing that alcohol, what it does to you when you're actually functioning, it destroys your capacity to function. Well, you don't realize it until you try it when you're in a high-tense world like this, or flying an airplane or racing a car, I suppose. Try having a drink in a boxing ring. See what it does for you. See how that works out. So here's a little Frank Sinatra.
And I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face. I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
Now compare that to the lyrics of today. Compare it to a rapper rubbing his crotch with bling in his teeth. You wonder why America's finished. There's nothing to do with music or films. There's nothing to do with the movies they put out or the vile lyrics in music. No, nothing to do with it at all. No, nothing to do with it at all. How a society is shaped by its artists is amazing. So there it is. Here we are. You go on. You tend your own garden and you pray for the best. And I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So Obama is not invited to shake hands with Rouhani. Instead, Rouhani has a dinner party in Manhattan this week and invites the Nation of Islam leader, Louis Farrakhan, but not the President of the United States. In other words, he spits in the face of the President of the United States, and today Obama calls him like his best friend, and now reports to the American people that peace is at hand. I wake up, I read this, I say, Neville Chamberlain, Hitler, got to play it on the show, put together a montage for you, and I've asked you how you feel about this. WMAL, Washington, Leslie, go ahead, please.
Oh, Michael?
Yes.
Oh, okay, first of all, congratulations, what a lucky little girl.
Oh, that's sweet. I hope she has good luck in her life. Thank you.
She's lucky for have a wonderful grandfather. And I'll tell you, Michael, thank you for coming on the air. I admire you so much. You're not in anybody's pocket, and you're the real deal. Anyway.
I hope so. I do the best I can.
I know you do. But I want to throw out a different perspective on this Iran business. We've got this ticking time bomb that we refer to as the Arab Spring. And we basically are in a situation there. We can't put the lid on that. The Arabs hate us. Okay? They hate us. They hate Israel.
Yes, that's right. They're a hateful people.
Oh yeah. Violent.
They hate the whole world. Let's be very clear. They hate the whole world.
They do. Anybody that's...
Yeah. Yes, and that's absolutely a fact. If Israel didn't exist, they would hate us.
they'd find it well.
Okay, that's right. They hate the Indians.
Of course.
The Muslims in India hate the Hindus. The Pakistanis hate the Indians and the Hindus. How do you explain that? It has nothing to do with Jews in Israel. They use Israel as a scapegoat like Hitler did.
Yep.
So where does that leave us? Your main point is what?
Is that Iran, as ridiculous as it sounds, is our only hope, because Iran, they hate Iran more than they hate us, believe it or not. Because
well, I know. Let's be clear here on an ethnic basis. The Iranians are not Arabs. I think that's what you're implying. Very few people know that.
Right. And
okay, but that's important to know. The Iranian people descend from the Aryan race, not from the Semitic races known as the Arabs.
Not Semitic. They're
I know we're not supposed to talk about it, but since I'm an educated man, I'll talk about anything I wish to talk about. I'm not going to be limited in my discussions.
Thank you.
For fear that ignoramuses won't understand me. If they don't have the sufficient intelligence to understand this, then they have no idea what we're talking about. It's very important we know that, because the Iranians pride themselves on not being Semitic, incidentally.
They're the Persians.
Thank you.
And
yes, and that has a lot to do with what you're about to say. So you're saying, because of that ethnic divide between the Iranians who are of Iranian descent, Iranians who are of Aryan descent, and the Arabs, you're saying they'll become our bulwark against the Arab Muslims?
Bingo.
Well,
now.
I think that what you're failing to understand is that Islam trumps all ethnicity.
Yeah, but they don't consider, the Sunnis do not consider the Shi'at Muslim.
I sure. Well, how did that work out in Iraq?
Well, because
Iraq is... How did that work out in Iraq? When I wrote Liberalism is a Mental Disorder in 2006, I said that Bush's Iraq war could turn out to be the greatest disaster in American history, And I said, let's pray to God it doesn't happen, but the big winner might be Iran, where we will see a gigantic reversion to the Persian Empire. Unfortunately, it turned out to be that way, so that was the biggest mistake of our history to that point. But now we have the next president making a bigger mistake. And also, what does it tell us about Obama and his minions, who would bomb Syria, who was not threatening us, and wants to make peace with Iran? What is that about? That is abject cowardice. To bomb a nation that can't fight back, like Syria, but not to bomb the nuclear capacity of Iran, that's pure cowardice, wouldn't you say?
Well, they got to get the chemical weapons out of there.
Chemical weapons out of Syria, you're saying?
Got to get the chemical weapons out of Syria.
Yeah, but bombing them didn't make any sense because nobody knew where the chemical weapons were. And bombing the sites where they did exist would have disseminated the chemical weapons throughout the Middle East. So that was the reason not to be insane and do what Obama wanted to do and the advisors. But who do you think is advising Obama now to negotiate with Iran? Who is the advisor on this?
I'm not sure who's advising him, but if you know the history of the region, it's not hard to understand that our only hope, because Israel is there, and everybody in the neighborhood wants to see them wiped off. I wish that we could just get out of the region because we have no business there. This is a no-win situation. We got to do the best we can do. But
well, listen to what a man much wiser than I on the situation has written, Reuel Marc Gerecht, who has written for the Weekly Standard, where it's called The New Rouhani, same as the old Rouhani. He concludes his article by saying this: without a credible American threat to go to war if Khamenei fails to dismantle, not just delay, his nuclear program, the upcoming negotiations are unlikely to end well. They could become, as we have already seen elsewhere in the Middle East, just farce. So, in other words, he's very clear that you have to threaten to go to war. You negotiate from a position of strength, or you're not negotiating at all. Obama's not negotiating. He's begging. What is Obama's teeth in this negotiation, Leslie?
With Iran or with Syria?
With Iran.
With Iran? Well, Iran is their economy is a mess. And
that's correct. So by helping their economy, we're helping the mullahs.
No, we need to be in there. The farce is the nuclear thing, because unfortunately in the world we live in, the only way a nation feels that they could be taken seriously in certain situations is have the nuclear option.
Well, I understand, but no other nation that is nuclear is threatened to wipe another nation off the planet and commit genocide. No other nation with nuclear weapons has said, we will use our nuclear weapons to commit genocide and wipe a race off the planet, other than your friends the mullahs in Iran.
I'm sure there's a sheikh in Pakistan that's this issued.
Well, he never said that. We never heard the Pakistanis say we're going to wipe a nation off the earth on a regular basis now.
We don't.
Even the North Korean lunatic has not said we will wipe a race off the planet. Only the Iranians have said we will wipe a race off the planet and commit a genocide with our nuclear weapon. How in the world can you permit them to develop a weapon when they are that insane? And believe that, excuse me, you seem to be knowledgeable about Iran. They believe that their bugaboo will return to Earth after an apocalypse. You know that, don't you?
Nice. Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Look, you got to look at the top of the Drudge Report. Obama negotiates with Tehran, but not Republicans. That said it all. And I've asked you, how do you feel about your president negotiating with the enemy of America, Iran, but not the Republicans? And then I compared Obama to Neville Chamberlain negotiating with Hitler. How'd that work out? And one liberal called me at the top of the show and said, Obama's great. They don't have the capacity to understand history. They have put Obama on a pedestal, which is extremely dangerous to do for any man. And they don't understand where this will lead, because they refuse to acknowledge what the past has taught us. So again, let me play the montage that Phil put together. Play it now, guys. Let's have the audience hear it.
Just now, I spoke on the phone with President Rouhani of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine.
Well, there will surely be important obstacles to moving forward, and success is by no means guaranteed.
That the question of Anglo-German relations is of the first importance for the two countries and for Europe.
I believe we can reach a comprehensive solution.
We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement.
I do believe that there is a basis for a resolution.
As symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again.
How that work out for the British? How's that going to work out for America? How do you feel about your president becoming Neville Chamberlain, not even understanding that he is not only a parody of Neville Chamberlain, he has become Neville Chamberlain? And Neville Chamberlain has become a watchword for what pacifism has done to nations before and how it encourages dictators. Pacifism never works with bullies. Now, there's another story I have to get to before the hour is up, and that is the National Rifle Association elephant hunter attacking people for calling him names for killing an elephant by shooting the elephant in the face. It's a huge story. It appeared on a sports channel. This pig, this monster, Tony Marcus, you should rip up your NRA card till he's fired. You could tell Wayne LaPierre where he can go. Tell Wayne LaPierre what he can do with his rifle after this. I'm not a big fan of Wayne LaPierre, by the way. I gave them a ton of money a few years ago, and they sent me a nasty letter saying that Wayne might come on your show one day. They never saw another dime from me. It's a business, my friends, just like the Republican Party is a business. Make no mistake about it. It's a business. So now we have the NRA acting out the worst imaginable imagery for the world to see of a pig with a gun. And that is, you have to go to michaelsavage.com. I haven't seen it anywhere else. You know why I have a soft spot for certain animals. Not all animals are equal, by the way. All animals are not equal. Incidentally, in one sense, yes, everything has a divinity, but not all animals are equal. A man certainly is not the same as a monkey. But when you see men slaughtering animals as noble as the elephant with such impunity and boasting about it, especially at a time when elephants are being decimated around the globe, mainly in Africa. Go to rawstory.com. It's on michaelsavage.com. And take a look at this monster pig. NRA lobbyist shoots elephant in the face and then celebrates with champagne. You have to see this story. You have to see this story. You will not believe what you're looking at. And he called those who attacked him animal racist and said Hitler would oppose killing elephants too. He thinks he's a wise guy. And this is why people hate Republicans. Men like him are the reason that people hate conservatives. Men like him, like pigs like him, murderers like him, are the reason people hate guns. Pigs like him are the reason that people hate conservatives. People like him are the reason people will never, ever vote for a Republican. Never. It was on NBC Sports, and it followed that poachers seeking ivory had last week poisoned 81 elephants with cyanide, and this pig from the NRA goes out there and shoots an elephant. Take a look at the baby lying there with her eye looking up, dying. And this pig, this old bum, this weakling coward pig with his big gun, his big elephant gun. The man without a penis stands there with his big elephant gun. This weak old man. Well, listen to clip 22. I have nothing more to say.
I hunt all things. And they go, well, nobody should shoot an elephant. I said, why? And they're so big and kind and gentle and smart. And I said, okay, let me ask you a question. Should I be able to shoot birds? Yeah, well, I guess that's okay. Ducks, yeah, okay. Pigeons, oh, they're flying rats, okay. Rabbits, well, rabbits are cute, but you have squirrels, that's nothing but a rat with a tail, with a fuzzy tail. And I said, well, deer eat all my mother's roses in Long Island. And I go, so I can shoot all of those, mm-hmm. But not an elephant, no. Do you realize if you subscribe to that philosophy, you're committing a very unique form of animal racism?
Now, this is Tony Macris of the NRA. I want you to rip up your NRA card. Listen to the next clip.
And now they're shocked. And they said, but they're so big and special, and they're smarter. And I went, you know, Hitler would have said the same thing. I said, if a deer deserved to live...
Now, do you understand why young people hate Republicans? Do you understand why young people despise conservatives? Do you understand why young people despise the NRA? Do you understand why people want to puke every time they hear an old white man get up with a gun and scream about their Second Amendment rights. Do you understand this? Do you get it? Listen to the next clip, because it happened today.
Right now, on the National Rifle Association's Under Wild Skies, hunting the largest land mammal on Earth, Botswana's Okavango Delta is a mecca for elephant hunting. But come prepared for all hell to break loose. Under Wild Skies.
Positively lethal, great to handle, beautiful gun. And the 577 was made to shoot ivory.
Made to shoot ivory. Now, it even gets worse in clip 25 when you hear this old white pig boasting about shooting an elephant in the face. Listen.
I've got bright sunlight behind the elephant. I can see the silhouette of his head, but I can't find my aiming point, which is, you know, sort of midway between the eyes. And you know, you got to look at the cheekbone and the top of the eyebrows, and right in there is that line. And I'm bent over, literally shooting through a hole in the trees.
NRA lobbyist shoots elephant in the face and then celebrates with champagne. It's on MichaelSavage.com from the Raw story. Rip up your NRA card. Tell Wayne LaPierre to go to hell. That's all. How's that? Is that a clear message? See, if you think you can categorize me, you're crazy. If you think that I'm going to sit here like the frauds of the conservative radio movement who say, hey, NRA, all the way. If you have insane people like these running the NRA, what does it tell you about the NRA? What does it tell you about anything? If you have men like this who compare an elephant to a bird, or an elephant to a rat, or an elephant to a squirrel, it tells you everything you ever needed to know about why there are liberals on the earth who may not agree with everything liberal, but they'd rather die than ever become a conservative because of men like him. I know people like that. They say, you know what? I may not believe the whole liberal agenda. I know maybe global warming is a lie, and I don't believe Obama's authentic. I think he's a fraud. But I'd rather never, ever become a Republican because of pigs like those in the NRA. Because of pigs like those in the NRA. That's what they say. Don't you understand that? Can't you grasp that? So I want you to go and look at that. And then we'll go back to our regular programming in a moment. 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. So an elephant is now a rat. An elephant is now a squirrel. The planet is hopeless. God has given up on this planet. With men like him, God has turned his eyes away in aversion to this planet. An impotent old white man like that with his big gun shooting an elephant. What a powerful man. What a tough man. What a strong hunter. What a strong man. Yeah. There are other words I have for him, but not on the radio. And then we have Iran. Iran. Who's the hunter and who's the hunted with the Iran situation? Who's the hunter, who's the hunted? Boy, there's an awful lot of stuff going on in the world, and the world is falling apart so fast there seems to be no center anymore. From Obama negotiating with Iran to this old pig in the NRA boasting about shooting a poor innocent elephant trying to protect her family in the middle of Botswana when they're being wiped off the planet, an endangered species. How in the world? How in the world is this man not arrested by Interpol? He should be arrested by Interpol. Any elephant hunter should be arrested by Interpol and thrown in prison and their assets seized for forming anti-poaching groups. The hunter should be hunted. The hunter should be hunted in Botswana by ex-Navy SEALs, by ex-Green Berets. They should go hunt these people for what they're doing. It's sickening. What man, tell me what kind of man gets his rocks off shooting an elephant in this day and age? It's not 1912 where there was no conscience about a thing like this. It's not like in the old Western days when the plains were filled with millions of buffalo and white male pigs drove in Pullman trains and put their guns out the window and shot as many bison as they could and then drank their whiskey and ate their meat and watched the bisons die across the plains until they were almost driven to extinction. They had no conscience and no consciousness and no conscience in those days. Now we do. Now we know what this means. And yet this pig with the NRA does this? Shoots an elephant in the face and celebrates with champagne? He was not hunting for food. He was not hunting because he was a hungry African, by the way. And it's illegal to hunt elephants even for hungry Africans because they're near extinction. So you have to understand the nuances of this whole story. And you know how important this is to me. It's funny right now. I'm up in my studio in San Francisco. It sounded like an elephant screaming. But it's actually a cruise ship leaving for the night. About to leave so that the people can enjoy a vacation somewhere on a cruise ship. And it's like a dizzying time to be in talk radio. The Islamic Republic of Iran in our lifetime? Did you ever think, after what Jimmy Carter did to this world, that we'd have to go through it again with Barack Hussein Obama? Or shall we say Barack Insane Obama, as was said many times, and we dismissed that? Is Obama crazy, stupid, or what? Terry on WABC, Donna on WMAL, Martha on WILK, Michelle on WMAL, Scotty on... I have so many great callers. Let's go to Mitch on KSFO in San Francisco. Go ahead, please, Mitch.
Hey, Mike, I have to tell you that I really wanted to prove you wrong so many times, but you're great. Keep up the good work. And my point is that Syria has been a really, really good distraction for Iran to work on the bomb. What do you think?
You're saying Syria has been a good distraction for Iran to work on their centrifuges. In other words, they set the whole thing up to take us off Iran and make us think about chemical weapons in Syria?
Why not? Why not?
Why not? Why not? They're playing triple chess, and Obama's playing tiddlywinks.
Yep.
I guess Obama never learned how to play chess during the years he was at Punahou. He was busy partying. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now, what I'm about to report to you on the Savage Nation is gruesome, and I suggest if you're weak of mind or you're not feeling well, you turn the radio off. This report just came out of the massacre in Kenya, where the Muslim extremists shot and tortured people in the Nairobi Mall. Eyes were gouged out, bodies were hanging from hooks, and fingers removed with pliers. Horrific claims of torture emerge as soldiers reveal gory Kenyan mall massacre detail. Kenyan soldiers claim to find scenes of torture by mall Muslim extremists. They say children were found dead in food refrigerators with knives in their bodies. Men were castrated and had fingers removed by the Islamists. This is the religion of peace that we are told about. Soldiers told of the horrific torture meted out by terrorists in the Nairobi Mall massacre yesterday, with claims hostages were dismembered, had their eyes gouged out, and were left hanging from hooks in the ceiling. Men were said to have been castrated and had fingers removed with pliers before being blinded and hanged. Children were found dead in the food court fridges with knives still embedded in their bodies, it was claimed. Most of the defeated Muslim terrorists were reportedly discovered burnt to ashes, set alight by the last extremist standing to try to protect their identities. The horrifying details came yesterday as the first pictures emerged from within the wreckage of the building, showing piles of bodies left strewn across the floor. What does this have to do with negotiating with Iran? Everything. Everything. The Iranians are extremists. Doctors said you find people with hooks hanging from the roof. They removed eyes, ears, nose. They get your hand and sharpen it like a pencil, then they tell you to write your name with the blood. They drive knives inside a child's body while you're looking. Actually, if you look at all the bodies, unless those ones that were escaping fingers are cut by pliers, the noses are ripped by pliers. Here it was pain. A soldier who took pictures at a bread counter and at the art cafe said he was so traumatized by what he saw he had to seek counseling. This is in Kenya from practitioners of Islam from Mali, who attacked them all and permitted all Muslims to leave. Hitler is back, only now he has a headscarf. The Nazis did the same thing. Oh yeah, they released the non-Jews, but the Jews had to be killed, you see. During the firefight, hostages reportedly had their throats slashed from ear to ear and were thrown screaming from third-floor balconies as the siege came to a bloody end. Forensics teams still sifting through the mountains of rubble fear many more bodies are yet to be found. Shell-shocked Kenyan troops said the inside of the Israeli-run mall resembled a scene from a horror movie, with blood splattered everywhere and dead bodies strewn across the floor. So what would you have Israel do? Should they wait for the Iranians to come for them? 10 and 15 terrorists did this. 10 to 15 terrorists were able to take over an entire mall in Kenya. What would you expect Israel to do when they know that the extremists in Iran are no different than this? Oh, maybe Khamenei wouldn't take out a nose with a plier, but he would take out a city with a nuke. What would you expect Netanyahu to do now that their back is to a wall? What would Ronald Reagan have done? Would he negotiate with Iran without saying either you dismantle your reactors or else? Or would he say, let's see what happens? We need a negotiation right now to get people's minds off my failures in America, my scandals, my hijacking of the American economy, my hijacking of the American middle class. So now let's see if I can go for a double Nobel by talking to Iran. What would you do if you were Israel? Tell me what their choices are. Israel has a Hobson's choice. These are not human beings. The Islamists are not human beings. They are not human beings. They are not human beings. When you see evil like this, you know that they've lost any semblance of being a human being. This mall massacre shows you the face of the enemy itself. They released the Muslims and killed the Christians and the Jews and the Hindus and the Buddhists, mutilated them. Didn't just kill them, would have been bad enough. Mutilated, tortured in front of the children, stuck knives in children, gouged eyes out. Why? What is this? What's the reason for this? What religion on earth tells its followers to take such actions? How can such cruelty in the name of God exist? How in the world can this go on? Picking on unarmed men, women, and children? What kind of religion tells its followers this is acceptable behavior? What kind of president ignores such a massacre and goes on to negotiate with a nation that would wipe Israel off the planet? Tell me, what kind of nation permits a president like this to be like a cannonball rolling around a deck? The deck of a ship that's lurching from side to side with not a cannon but a loose cannonball lurching around the ship, liable to explode at any time in any direction. Eyes gouged out, bodies hanging from hooks, and fingers removed with the pliers. The religion
Join
of peace.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, we made it to the 27th of September, 2013. Okay. Mark it down, the 27th of September, 2013, seminal day in Michael Savage's life. What a news day it is. President Obama is now channeling Neville Chamberlain, the pacifist, backstabbing, socialist, laborite of England, who appeased Hitler, and came back from Germany and said, I have in my hand a piece of paper that Herr Hitler has signed. There will never be war between Germany and England again. How'd that work out? Tonight we have Obama. You got to hear the sound we played. It's almost Chamberlain's speech. Just now, he says, I spoke on the phone with President Rouhani of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is astounding. This is the same Obama who will not negotiate with Republicans in Congress, but negotiates with Tehran, Iran. Does it get any worse than this? You betcha. You betcha. It will get much worse than this. Some in politics are saying it's reached civil war levels. I'm one of them. An advisor to Obama compares Republicans to terrorists, kidnappers, arsonists. If you go to michaelsavage.com, you'll see all of the news, including what I'm reading to you. Reid says there's no need to converse with Republicans. It's amazing to me. 90% of healthcare pros say Americans will die earlier. Massachusetts small businesses threaten suit over premium hikes. Cruz has jumped to the top of the GOP, as he should. McCain, the shame, has said partisanship is the worst he's ever seen. Huh. Beyond belief, huh? And then it gets even worse. If you go to michaelsavage.com, do you go there or not? I mean, you go there. It's interesting if you do. You'll see that Savage to take Hannity time slot on Cumulus beginning in January. You will see Savage moving to drive time 3 to 6 p.m. on the East Coast starting in January. You'll see a small president on the world stage in a cartoon by Peggy Noonan. The world misses the old America. Boy, does it ever. You'll see many other stories. Some are heartbreaking. Torture in Kenya massacre. Eyes gouged out. Bodies hanging from hooks. Castration. Oh, didn't make it to your local newspaper to show you what Islamists really do? Oh, really? Really? It gets even worse. Walmart shooter picked victims by race. He shot them because they were white. Take a look at his face. Yeah, there's a race war going on in the country. It's awful. It's just awful. And who is going to save us? Rubio, the man on the white horse? Let's hope so. How do you feel about your president negotiating with the enemy of America and Israel, Iran, but not the Republicans? How do you feel about slime of the lowest order in the Republican Party? And I call him slime for putting up with this without demanding impeachment immediately. How do you feel about slime in the Democrat Party negotiating with people who would wipe Israel off the planet, who would convert Americans to Islam, negotiating with them and calling them a Republic of Iran when they're the farthest thing from a republic imaginable? And not talking to Republicans. How do you feel about Harry Reid saying there's no need for conversations with Republicans on the budget or on Obamacare? Abomination care, I have called it affectionately. But not talking to Republicans, but talking to Iranians? How do you feel about any of this? Or you feel nothing? Are you brain dead? We have an incompetent man, as we well know, who seems to hate the fact that he has to deal with the Congress at all. He despises the American people. Then you have advisors like Floof and Pfeiffer, whatever their names are. I don't know where, what toilet he pulled them out of, saying things that you can't imagine would come out of a presidency. And then you have people around the world begging for leadership. And then you have Obama negotiating with, okay, he's not the Hitler of Iran, he's the new version. Rouhani is the nice and nasty version of Ahmadinejad. The nice and nasty cop, the good cop, bad cop. They got rid of the bad cop, Ahmadinejad. They retired him. And they brought in Rouhani, who's now playing nice cop. And this is a president speaking to him as though we're living in 1939 and it's Chamberlain talking to Hitler. Many of you don't know history, so you're repeating it. So those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it, and apparently we have millions and millions of ignoramuses in America who not only do not know their history, but care not to learn it. Obama has been on the phone more with Iran than Speaker Boehner, according to CNN. How does that work for you? How do you feel about your president being on the phone more with Iran than with the Republicans? How do you feel about the fact that the Democrats are more concerned with seizing picnic food and pouring Clorox on it than negotiating with the American people who want the belt tightening, meaning a budget battle that means something, who want 10 to 20% of every government department terminated, who want 20% of government workers fired, who want pensions cut by 20%. How about that? This is not esoteric. This is not esoteric at all. How do you feel about this?
I think that Obama has an agenda to destroy this country. I think he's pulling us through a minefield. I think Iran is just buying time by even talking to this moron. And I'm afraid to tell you that the end result looking a lot more like Armageddon day by day.
Very clearly put. You should consider a career in talk radio.
I'm from Brooklyn. I have a terrible accent.
Yeah, but, you know, I listen to people what they actually say, not their accent. I've met too many people who speak the King's English and say nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, how many times have I heard people speak the perfect English and say nothing?
Uh-huh.
Or how many politicians are so glib-tongued and have such wonderful voices and lead us astray? So, Carol, you resonate with me. I do think that Iran is buying time. This is the craziest thing. Listen to what Obama also said. We don't have this on tape. He said that Iran's supreme leader has issued a fatwa against the development of nuclear weapons. Obama says President Rouhani has indicated that Iran will never develop nuclear weapons. Do you believe that? Knowing how those people operate in the Republic of Iran, do you believe a word of what they say? He's issued a fatwa against the development of nuclear weapons? Iran will never develop. So what were they developing nuclear weapons for? They mean they stopped developing nuclear weapons? What do you think about any of this? Doesn't this worry you? Now, this is the same Iran that wouldn't shake his hand. Think about what I just said to you. I want you to understand what went on this week. There was a Major League UN meeting. Rouhani had a dinner. He invited Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam to his dinner, but not the President of the United States. And now the President of the United States calls him up and says, we had a wonderful constructive conversation. You have any idea how low it can go? It's going real low. KSFO, John, how do you feel about this today on the Savage Nation?
I think that the President of Iran is doing this and stroking Obama's ego and being the only one to talk to him because he initiated the phone conversation. Obama's not talking to Republicans because they're not going to make him feel good, but the President of Iran knows that Obama's weak. He'll use this opportunity to be the first one in 30 years to talk to Iran and make himself in the history books.
Oh, I see. This way he might win another Nobel Prize. Yeah, I see. I see it your way. We have a very, very frail president who's psychologically frail, who has never been told no in his entire life. The skids have been greased for him since elementary school. Everything has been handed to him. He has a, well, why go into it? We did a psychological analysis of him way back in the beginning. We're way past that. Here we have the President of the United States talking to Iran for the first time since Jimmy Peanut Carter in 1979. And Carter was such a terrible president that he permitted the cancer of radical Islam to metastasize around the world. It was Jimmy Carter's pacifism and belief that negotiation would work with these hardliners that permitted Khomeini to come back from exile in London and spread the cancer that we are facing around the world today. And now the oncologist in the White House tells us there is no cancer. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The very fact that this was the first communication between an American and Iranian president since 1979 underscores the deep mistrust between our countries, but it also indicates the prospect of moving beyond that difficult history. I do believe that there is a basis for a resolution. Iran's supreme leader has issued a fatwa against the development of nuclear weapons. President Rouhani has indicated that Iran will never develop nuclear weapons. I've made clear that we respect the right of the Iranian people to access peaceful nuclear energy in the context of Iran meeting its obligations. So the test will be meaningful.
Okay, do you hear what he just said? He believes that they've issued a fatwa against the development of nuclear weapons? This is astonishing to me because I am a student of history. Chamberlain came back from his meeting with Hitler, and he said peace is at hand. Chancellor Hitler has signed the Anglo-German Naval Treaty. And the chancellor has said we will never go to war. Shortly thereafter, he invaded another country. What is going on? Do you understand this? Do you believe that these Islamic fundamentalists will give up the possibility of turning their enriched uranium and separated plutonium into nuclear weapons? Do you believe they're going to give up this possibility to convert their enriched uranium and separated plutonium into nuclear weapons? I don't. Sounds very nice, doesn't it? Sort of along the line of, gee, the communists in China turned into crony capitalists. Maybe the Iranian hardliners will turn into sort of nice guys that we can do business with. History does not hold up any hope for such an event whatsoever. This man that we're dealing with here on the other side is a hardliner. There's a near zero chance that he will give up the nuclear program. Rouhani's triumph in the recent presidential election was not really a victory for moderation. That is their cover story. He is part of the militant revolution in the Islamic Republic. That's what it's been. But they're playing good cop, bad cop. They got rid of Ahmadinejad because he wasn't diplomatic enough. He said what they really meant. He came out and said like what they really believed. He said, we're going to get a nuclear weapon, and when we do, we'll wipe Israel off the planet, then we'll go after all the Jews around the world. That's what he said it many times. I heard the speeches. Now, what if the centrifuge production continues at current levels? What will Obama do then? If they continue their centrifuge production at current levels, according to what I've read, by the middle of next year, the regime will have a one-week capacity, what they're calling a breakout capacity, meaning they could take 20% of rich uranium and convert it to bomb-grade uranium in 7 days. So let me repeat that. It's from an incredible article you must read in the Weekly Standard by a genius named Ruel Marc Gerecht, the new Rouhani, same as the old Rouhani. It hasn't been published yet. It's coming out October 7th. But he writes this. Lucky for you, I'm a scholar who can read things quickly and absorb them rapidly for you on radio. And I've just done it for you. Radio is much different than printed publications. Do you actually believe any of this? You don't think Rouhani is just playing Obama because he knows Obama is domestically weak right now? If refusing to shake Obama's hand and inviting Louis Farrakhan to a state dinner at a hotel in New York City this week and not inviting Obama, this phone conversation is real to you? This is a Friday night, I realize that, and you have other things to do, and I'm a realist myself. I walk around San Francisco before my show. I see people living their lives. I see them eating, drinking, eating oysters, the wine that's flowing. What should they do? I see boats on the bay, people sitting on the back of the boat at the dock with the sun on their face drinking. I'm not mad at them. Life has to go on. Before the show, I walk up California Street. I come in front of a hotel. I see a 1957 Bentley with a fishback. I ask the man who's driving it, a real Britisher, about his car. He's driven it down from Canada. He's on the way to somewhere, L.A. He's having a good time. I understand that. Life goes on. There are, what, 5.5 billion people on the planet? How many of them are interested in politics? 1%? How many people are really interested in politics? Those of you who are listening to this show on a Friday night, you're in the smallest of minority. You are political junkies, so to speak, to use a derogatory term that doesn't really apply. You're political fanatics because you realize that everything is at stake right now. We have the most devious, destructive presidency in American history. The man is on a one-way bullet train to destroy the country. Everything he has done is blown up in his face. Nothing he has done has worked out right. The Obamacare juggernaut is about to blow up the country's economy, and he won't talk to the Republicans. They attack people who want a belt tightening. They attack people who want this Obamacare slowed down before it's implemented, and yet he will talk to a nation that is intent upon destroying one of our allies, Israel, and then us. How do you feel about your president negotiating with the enemy of America but not with the Republicans? These are important questions. And no one in radio has done for you what I've done tonight. I play Chamberlain's speech. Play Chamberlain's speech again because they don't know what we're talking about already. The 15 minutes are up.
I had another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler. And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine. We,
all right.
The German Führer and Chancellor, and the British Prime Minister, have had a further meeting today and are agreed in recognizing that the question of Anglo-German relations is of the first importance for the two countries and for Europe. We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement as symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again.
Now, of course, the British cheered because they lost so many of their boys in World War I. Millions of boys died for nothing in World War I. They were war-weary, as we are war-weary. Nobody wants war. Nobody wanted war. But Hitler understood the weakness of the West, and he was capitalizing on it, and he was moving in to the void that had been created from all of the slaughter, just as the Ayatollahs are. They're moving into the void of weakness, the void of pacifism, the void of foolishness, the void of liberalism, the insanity of liberalism. But let me read the last paragraph from Raoul Marc Guérech, who is a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies at the Weekly Standard, when he wrote the following. Without a credible American threat to go to war if Khamenei fails to dismantle, not just delay, his nuclear program, the upcoming negotiations are unlikely to end well. They could become, as we have seen, they could become, as we have already seen elsewhere in the Middle East, just farce. So there's the unknown. So Rouhani now is telling Obama that he wants to make peace and he won't make scrambled eggs out of Israel after they get the bomb, because they don't even want to get a bomb. And Obama says, well, that's great. Look at that. I can get out of the trouble I'm in. The scandals will disappear. The economy will suddenly be forgotten. And I'll get another Nobel Prize for shaking hands with the clerics of Iran.
Savage.
Just now, I spoke on the phone with President Rouhani of the Islamic Republic of Iran. The two of us discussed our ongoing efforts to reach an agreement over Iran's nuclear program. I reiterated to President Rouhani what I said in New York. While there will surely be important obstacles to moving forward, and success is by no means guaranteed, I believe we can reach a comprehensive solution.
It's the Savage Nation. It's Friday. I realize many of you are tired from the whole week of the sun, moon, and the stars that I've been talking about. Sun, moon, and the stars, meaning Obama and the politicians, the political class, are they your only constellation? Are they your only constellation? When you look up at the sky, all you see is the moon or the sun? Or what, one formation of stars? You don't see an entire solar system, a galaxy, many galaxies? And so when you listen to talk radio, what do you expect me to do? Talk about Obama as though he is the sun? And Boehner as though he is the moon? And Schumer as though he is, well, fill it in, you know, whatever you want. There's much more in the world, but on a day like today, when your president falls to the lowest level imaginable in American history, the lowest, this is the lowest, this is the nadir of American exceptionalism. It's exhausting to look at this and see it as clearly as I do. It's like having a crystal ball with the ability to look backwards and forwards at the same time and not get confused by what I see. When Obama was elected, I recall on this show, those of you who've listened religiously for all these years, I said he is either going to use Neville Chamberlain as a model, and I gave some other examples of who he might use as a model. I didn't know whether it would be Che Guevara, Neville Chamberlain, Fidel Castro, Joseph Stalin, or Pol Pot. Thus far, we have a bit of all other than Pol Pot. There's not yet a mountain of skulls. There's just a mountain of missing bullets. So far, no one knows where the 1 billion hollow point bullets have gone. Huh? How do you feel about that? Tim on WABC has a comment to make. Go ahead, Tim.
I want to thank you so much for your comedic genius of your show tonight. I laughed and laughed and laughed. Pure brilliance. You're brilliant, only exceeded by your creativity. The parallel of Neville Chamberlain to Barack Obama is pure genius.
Yeah, but wait, let's go on. The thing is, it's almost identical in meaning of what Chamberlain said and what Obama said. That's the shocker.
Yeah, because they're so out of touch with reality.
Well, here's the thing, and this is the danger. Chamberlain was so committed to pacifism and led the British people almost to the brink of destruction that his own party threw him out of the party. They threw him out of the party because he almost destroyed Britain. Could you ever believe the Democrats would do that to Obama? Throw him out for destroying the country or destroying their party? Yes. Never in a million years. Never in a million years could those hacks in the Democrat Party ever, ever, ever say to him, enough is enough. We're going to move to have you impeached for what you've done.
Obama realizes his presidency is sinking into oblivion, and this is his last great hurrah. he's striving for a coup de grace, some major Grand Slam event that will raise him up out of, you know, like a phoenix out of this.
You're 100% right, and he assumes that Iran will suddenly say we're not developing nuclear weapons, and then his internationalist friends in the New World Order grant them another Nobel Peace Prize. And everyone forgets all of the scandals, which I don't have to reiterate in every breath. But look, the minute I heard about the speech today, I had to grab the Chamberlain. Did anyone else in radio play the two together today, do you know?
No one did. That's why I'm saying. And plus it was...
Well, you mean Rush didn't and Wallbanger didn't?
No.
Were they still doing the Ted Cruz job?
Yes, they're still hung up on the CR resolution Obamacare bill.
I don't understand how anyone could not see what's going on. I don't understand it. My mind is on international politics almost all the time. Thank you for the call. What a night this is for me. I told you, Friday nights are a very unique show for me because the audience is much smaller. People are not tuned in. It's late. Most people want a relaxing night. It's also a very special night for me in a personal way, which I will not get into other than to tell you that my only daughter is in a hospital right now giving birth to my first grandchild, and I still chose to come to the program for a number of reasons. And the reason is because this is my destiny, and my audience depends upon me. I would like to tell you that if you are given towards any kind of prayer or religious orientation, send prayers that way. 855-407-282. There was a community picnic with a lot of guests eating organic food. Did you hear what your government did to them? They raided a picnic, and they said the food was not sustainable farming food, was not approved by the government. They took the food away from the people, and they destroyed all of the food at home, homegrown food, with bleach. This is exactly what a fascistic government does. There was an example of a government out of control, and you say, well, it's not all government. No, it isn't all government workers, but where do they get the audacity to step out of line like that? Who encourages that kind of behavior? Well, it's the imperiousness of Harry Reid that would encourage that behavior. It's the imperiousness of Obama that would encourage that behavior. Because if there was a leader at the top who says, that's not allowed, that's not permitted, that's not what I want, all the way down the line, the little bureaucrats behave differently. The bullies who take government jobs learn from the people above them. You get it? And that's why you have to fight this intrusive, imperious government. It's a new word, imperiousness and imperious. It's a good word, and you can see the root of it is imperial, and you know what that means, right? Of course, the root of the word fascist is also interesting. Fascia means stick, and it derives from the Romans who used, actually, they wore sticks. They actually had sticks on their little uniforms. It was like a billy stick, a billy club, and they used them to beat the people into submission. In America, they used the laws to beat people into submission. In America, Obama uses the law to beat you into submission. Obamacare is an example of the big stick. And, of course, it was jammed down our throats with every kind of chicanery known to the political system. And now people are seeing why there is such a hullabaloo about Castro Care. They sense it's all wrong, all bad, and no good. And we knew this from day one. I wrote about it in Trickle Poverty. I wrote about it in Trickle Down Tyranny. And some of you got it from other sources as well. Eli on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Michael. I will pray for your daughter, that the baby is born healthy, and that you are a grandfather tonight or tomorrow, whenever the Lord provides. But I don't
Thank you.
You know how blessed you are by God, because you are prophetic in not just a religious way. I love when you quote the Bible, but you're a prophet in a historical way. You've often said we're witnessing preludes to what is going on, like watching a trailer from a movie, you know, like the attractions.
Yeah.
You know, people may not take you seriously because you throw in a meatball recipe now and then or whatever, talk about your dogs, but, you know, that's the man who you are, and that's how God made you. But, like, people better start listening, because you see what's coming down, and it's coming down. And I don't know, Michael, if we can change things. We may just be witnessing.
Yes. Now, that's a very important tail end to the adulations, which is, can we really change the tsunami that is engulfing us? I feel as though the tsunami at right this point is pulling itself out to sea before smacking us really well. In other words, this is the prelude to the actual tsunami. And I don't know that Obama is the manufacturer of the tsunami. He may just be the harbinger of the tsunami. Eli, I don't have an answer for you.
All I know
is that when we lost the press, we lost the country. We have no opposition party. And I came to the conclusion today, Eli, that our form of government is about the worst form of government on the planet. It is the most imperfect system ever invented. Because if it can be abused by a tin horn like Obama, as it is being abused by this gang, Harry Reid, Flew, Pfeiffer, you name them, Schwartz, whatever they are, they're abusing this system that was not meant to be abused, but they found a way to abuse the system and annihilate the two-party system. There is no longer a two-party system. It's a one-party system. So if you have Harry Reid, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, Dick Durbin, and the others, if they're able to abuse the two-party system as they are doing and completely nullify the will of the people, then it is the worst system ever devised in the history of mankind. A participatory democracy would permit the people to throw out a government that is corrupt or incompetent, not wait for an election every 4 years. Because a lot can happen in 4 years. God sees the truth but waits is one way to look at it. I sometimes think that God got so fed up with man that he went to another galaxy. Sometimes I think God abandoned this galaxy. He gave up on it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, we've been talking about Obama negotiating with the leader of Iran, but not negotiating with the Republicans. You've heard my feelings on it. I played clips from Neville Chamberlain negotiating with Hitler. We know how that worked out. And I told you that it's a very strange night for me, a very magical night, and I just got the word that I'm the grandfather of a baby girl. 6 pounds, 15 ounces, so Annika is now on the earth. And all I can say is it's a miracle. Birth is still a miracle in an age of such cynicism. In an age where girls throw babies in a trash can to go back to a dance, I still believe in the adage, he who saves a single life is as though he saved the entire world. And God bless the doctors, the good ones. They are the saints of the planet. God bless the nurses. God bless the physician's assistants. God bless those in the birth world. They bring life onto the planet, without which, as you know, the opposite occurs. And it's a very powerful moment for me. And I mean, I'm on the radio, which is bizarre. The children didn't want anyone in the hospital. I kept joking and saying, don't you want like the Sopranos family out there with the candy and the flowers in the lobby? No, we don't. We want to be alone. And I respect that. I'm not a smother father. I never have been. I've always been, you know, do what you want to do in that sense. You know, you're adults. But, you know, I always felt like we should be out there, sitting out there in the lobby with the flowers or whatever. I promised my daughter. I remember when she was born. I'll never forget the day when she was born in San Francisco in Kaiser Hospital. I brought Chinese food for her mother to the hospital. And I brought Latin music. I brought Cuban music during the birth. I was a pretty crazy young guy. Amazing. So I said, look, when the baby's born, just give me a call. I would come over with Chinese food. I'll shoot right up to Geary Street, get a ton of Chinese food, and I'll be in the hospital with it. It'll certainly beat the gop you're going to eat in the hospital. But I don't think they want me there with the Chinese food tonight. I know right after this show I'm not going to be in the hospital. I'm probably going to hit a bar right here. I know exactly where I'm going for a couple of drinks. Amazing. Amazing. And there's another reason. Look, you got to forgive me for going off this important topic. because it's like a dual reality. I'm running on a double track right now, the personal and the political. But since you know my show is very personal as well as political, interspersed with my life, and it's been for 20 years, I can't change all of a sudden and just say suck it up and forget about it. They don't want to hear about it. Some of you are probably know, who cares? I get it. Others of you who've been listening to me since 94 are celebrating as though it's a part of your family, because we are a radio family, and I know that. I know that very well through the letters I get, the emails, rather, about Teddy. Many of you think Teddy's like your dog. And I get it. I mean, this becomes a family. And that's what talk radio really is at its best. It can't be duplicated by any other medium in that sense. The bonding between people is stronger in radio than any other medium. It's a well-known fact. It's different than any other medium. And so I got to tell you one last personal story, then I will go back to the story of Chamberlain and Obama, the parallels in history, dealing with the Islamic Republic of Iran, the way Chamberlain dealt with the Hitler Republic of Germany, the National Socialist Republic of Germany. Socialist country was Germany. I got to tell you this, it's very important you hear it, and then I'll move on. Father died young, grandfather died young. All of my life, since my father's heart attack when I was 18 years old, and I had to leave college to help run his little store, it set me back in school a lot, set me on a, you know, a whole different thing, whatever. The thing is I always felt that I would never make it to see my own grandchild, never. Never. I felt that I had a curse over me. I felt that there was always a curse. I would never make that goal, never. And it's funny, I've hit every other goal in my life but this one. This is it. There's nothing left for me to do. There is nothing greater than what happened to me. I haven't seen the child. I haven't seen little Annika yet. But I hope I will. But she's here. I never thought I'd see the day that I'd be on the earth and with a grandchild. I just felt that it wouldn't happen. That just shows you what negativity can do, how it can destroy your mind. And there's a lesson in this for those of you who are struggling with your own problems, your own fears, your own doubts. If you let negativity take control of you, you can't do a thing. It'll cripple you. You literally have to shut the voice down that tells you you can't do this, you can't do that, you're going to die this, you're going to get that. It's not worth living like that. So I punched through all of it. I punched through all of it. I never thought I would have the success I have in radio. I dreamed it. I said I would, but I didn't think I would. I mean, I didn't know how it would happen. It's always been one miraculous thing after another. Just when things closed down on me and I couldn't go further, and I kept fighting and fighting for years, I fought in court to win the freedom that I had, and then there was nothing waiting, and then this came up, and here I am. And despite all odds, now the child is born. So what can I say? I mean, what can I say to you on the show tonight? I'm not going to get more emotional than I am. I'm not at the point of, you know, I'm not like tearing or crying. I'm almost numb. I'm not excited. I'm just stunned, actually. And that's about it. In the middle of how do you feel about your president negotiating with the enemy of America, Iran, but not the Republicans. And I knew that my daughter was in. There it is. So that's life. Unfortunately, I can't have a drink and a cigar right now for two reasons. One, I've never had a drink in the history of radio, perhaps except once at the end of a show to see what it would do to me, and it wrecked my mind. I couldn't think. I once tried it with 2 minutes to go. I couldn't form a thought. It's amazing that alcohol, what it does to you when you're actually functioning, it destroys your capacity to function. Well, you don't realize it until you try it when you're in a high-tense world like this. So there it is. Here we are. You go on. You tend your own garden and you pray for the best. So Obama is not invited to shake hands with Rouhani. Instead, Rouhani has a dinner party in Manhattan this week and invites the Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan, but not the President of the United States. In other words, he spits in the face of the President of the United States. And today Obama calls him like his best friend and now reports to the American people that peace is at hand. I wake up, I read this, I say, Neville Chamberlain, Hitler, got to play it on the show, put together a montage for you, and I've asked you how you feel about this. Listen to what a man much wiser than I on the situation has written, Raoul Marc Gerecht, who has written for the Weekly Standard, where it's called The New Rouhani, same as the old Rouhani. He concludes his article by saying this: without a credible American threat to go to war if Khamenei fails to dismantle, not just delay, his nuclear program, the upcoming negotiations are unlikely to end well. They could become, as we have already seen elsewhere in the Middle East, just farce. So, in other words, he's very clear that you have to threaten to go to war. You negotiate from a position of strength, or you're not negotiating at all. Obama's not negotiating, he's begging.
Savage.